Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Mike from Ash Hats Podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Dustin.
Hey.
And we're back again smoking some cigars and talking, basically shooting the shit. We had a really nice New Year's, and we had a really good Christmas break. And
we hope you did, too.
Yes, very much so. We had a really nice collaboration episode with our friends over at There's No Script to Life Podcast. Make sure you go and check that out when you get a chance. And today, our concept is kind of going along with what we talked about last time, which is the hustle, and more specifically, the side hustle. Because our last podcast was all about business and basically what good business practices are being done in the market, especially for new and upcoming people like ourselves who are thinking about getting into the business. And we thought we would do something really cool with the side hustle.
A piggyback episode.
That's a good way of describing it, a piggyback episode. So let's talk a little bit about the smoke first. We figured, you know, if you're hustling, you're working your fingers to the nub, let's go with a nub, right? So this is the Nub Cameroon from Oliva. This is a 3x58, so it's a short cigar. It's like they're...
Most nubs are short.
That's generally speaking what they are, but it's almost a Gordo. So a Gordo is like a 60-ring cigar. So it's supposed to smoke about the same amount of time as a regular cigar, but I'm not expecting this to last longer than like 45 minutes, but we'll see. What's interesting about this one, and what cut are you going to go with?
I'm going with the V cut.
I'm going to go with the straight cut because I've been.
I like to go with V cut on my thicker cigars just because I feel like it gives me more room to pull and draw the smoke.
My guillotine cutter didn't even fit. Like usually I can fit my cigar through the guillotine, and this one did not. But it just barely made the cap, which is perfect. But I've been trying a lot of different things, like with the cigar. And I've noticed my go-to used to be the punch. And I used to punch the majority of the cigars I smoked, and I've been busting the cap on every one of these cigars, and it's been like destroying them. So I've been like not punching nearly as many cigars.
Do you think it has to do with the hole punch itself, not being sharp enough?
That's part of it. I think part of it is that, plus also the humidity. It's been a little bit drier because of the winter. There's probably a lot of things going on with that, but
a lot of variables.
A lot of variables indeed. This is an interesting cigar because it has a Cameroon wrapper. So supposedly this is a authentic African Cameroon wrapper. It's like one of those specialty wrappers, you know, like the Shades of Connecticut, and they have all these you know, unique cigar origins. It's a Nicaraguan filler and binder, and this one actually, if you look at it, has a lot of like what they call teeth or like little bumps on it, and the Cameroon wrapper tends to be real toothy. Mine also has a lot of modeling to it. Modeling, not like modeling, like a, like, you know, just
M-O-T-T?
A butchin. M-O-T-L-E, yeah. Like a M-O-T-T-L-E-D, I think is what you're
thinking. Yeah. Typical spelling error.
A modeled cigar has a bunch of like black flecks on it. And like when you see flecks on a cigar, you think like, oh, there's something wrong. Mine has a lot more than normal. How about yours? I see you.
Yeah, it looks veiny.
Yeah. Like
it veiny and thick.
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah, that doesn't surprise me coming from you. But nevertheless, the wrapper is unique on this one compared to most cigars, and it's supposed to give like a real earthy sort of flavor to it. What kind of, you always go with the butane light,
yep,
I noticed.
Always.
There we go. I'm going to go with the butane light as well. Yeah. I like the matches personally. I've been using matches like for most of the cigars
I smoke. You're using Kyle's flamethrower.
I am going to use this heavy-duty flamethrower style just because it's... gonna get the cigar lit nice and quickly. I usually don't like to light them too fast, but this is working really well, and it's because I'm really far away from the cigar, so I'm trying to toast as much as I can. What mm-hmm. do you think on the first
I like it. Yeah,
it has a little bit of sweet to it, which I kind of like. That sweetness is from the Cameroon wrapper, actually. And a lot of people think,
ooh.
Yeah, isn't that weird? It's interesting.
It's good.
It's not infused. It's unique. And it's got like a peppery kick to it, too.
Yep.
What most people think is that the wrapper of the cigar is what gives it its like full-bodiedness. And it's really not. It has to do with a combination of the binder and the filler and the wrapper all mixed together to get you a really complex smoke. This is the reason why like master blenders are the ones that are working on getting cigars to taste just right. And that's why they make so much money, and that's why cigars cost so much money. I mean, there's something like 300 hands that are involved in every cigar that's ever produced, supposedly. I don't know.
Is that 150 people or...
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, you have to think about the people picking the leaves and working the fields and working in the rolling plants and, you know, selling the cigars and so on and so forth. But something like that.
Then the final hand, smoking it, which we are.
Oh, that's a fantastic cigar.
Good start.
I would say I got this from a really good sampler pack. I would strongly recommend if you're going to go and look for cigars, go online. And that's kind of where like my whole thinking about this topic of the side hustle comes into play is there's so much more that's available now than was ever available when we were growing up.
Like, it's crazy.
I was thinking what my son is going to be able to do to pick up a couple extra bucks on the side, like cut grass.
It's almost paralyzing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost like analysis paralysis. Like, what can I do to maximize my dollar per hour on this day?
Your time is of utmost
importance.
But
by the time you think of, okay, so this will net me $100 this hour, and this will help me maybe 85, and then you start thinking about how much energy you want to put into it and what is the long-term payoff, by the time you think of all that, the day's over.
And that's what's crazy about it.
Yeah, the side hustle in 2021 is totally an analysis paralysis. Mm-hmm. There's an overwhelming amount of things that we can do as a society that we should and could never be broke again.
Yep.
And even if you need an extra couple bucks for a birthday or for whatever reason, you know, there's no reason that you can't find that. You need the energy to do it, and you need to have that willpower to go and get it.
And this is the time of year to do it. Everybody's doing their New Year's resolutions. And that's part of the reason why, like, we had that last podcast about business. And I've been doing my New Year's resolutions. And I don't know if anybody else does these things. But I was telling you before the show, I'm trying to do one podcast a day, one book a month, and trying to optimize my time more. Because I spend a lot of time, like, you know, free time doing things that, like, you know, make me feel good, and I play video games and I read for leisure. But a lot of that time I'm thinking I could be spending trying to maximize profit and trying to make money. And that's where
yourself.
Yeah. Like, absolutely.
I mean, when you're trying new things, you're finding out things about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you do side hustle A and you realize, man, I'm expending a lot of energy when others aren't, then maybe it's not for you.
Right.
Where you're like, you're what you're good at and you find that match. It's, yeah.
And that's one thing that I was also thinking about was that you have to find something that not only you are actually interested in and that you're doing, but try to find something that people aren't doing. Like,
right.
I find it interesting. Like, I get a lot of research. We were just talking about like TikTok and Facebook and Twitter and all these places where people are talking about, oh, I made X amount of dollars doing this. And then you go and research it and then you're in the rabbit hole. I was spending hours last night researching stocks.
Yeah, me too. I was up till 12:30.
Yep.
And then you wake up and everything is changed.
And then you got to get to your regular job. Mm-hmm. It's like, when do you have the time to do the side hustle? Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. But I'm as a teacher, I must admit, pretty much every teacher I know of has some sort of side hustle that they've been doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, above all else, like, you, in my eyes, are like one of the kings of the side hustle.
I love the side hustle.
It's part of you being your own businessman. I mean, you're self-employed. Like, I feel like you, above all else, like, have a really good finger on the pulse of the side hustle.
But even having that pulse, like, when I was doing research for this episode,
mm-hmm.
I was blown away with how it has changed.
Oh, yeah.
Just in the last year.
Oh, yeah.
And we got a lot to talk about. Some of the topics we're going to talk about, like, I think I'm going to blow your mind on what I found.
I think so. Absolutely. And the other thing is, like, I don't want anybody to think that, like, when they're listening to this podcast, like, if you're happy with what you're doing, then there's no problem there. Like, if you... You know, believe me, I definitely have enough work that I have to deal with during the day. Yeah. I have two kids. I've got to keep my house up.
We have
I
two work. Kids.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And we definitely have enough that we're working on. But
this podcast is essentially made for others who want to find that extra $10 to $100 a week.
Right.
And if they want more, then they can also do that as well.
Right. And I think that people think that these side hustles are necessarily going to turn into their 100% career, and they don't have to. I think that's another thing that people have to realize, is that because that's like the overall goal is like, oh man, I could make $1 million selling makeup online, or I could doing Avon or whatever it is.
And you could.
That's the thing. Like, you really could, but you don't have to.
Right.
Like, it's nice to have it.
If you want to do it in a small niche group and make $100 doing it, that's totally awesome.
Right.
And great for you for finding that community to do that in.
Right. So how about we do it this way? Let's talk a little bit about, I'm thinking of like our friends and like the things that we do. We have a buddy who wants to be a part-time professional gambler. That's our buddy, okay. Eric, right? And I'll tell you, like when you pick his brain and he knows so much about the ins and outs of like fantasy football and FanDuel and sportsbook, like that's a side hustle that you could get into and that you could be potentially good at it. Like we do this all the time where we play like the daily fantasy plays. Yep. And it's funny because I was joking around with you guys that I didn't do it this week because I pulled my money back. I was like, I don't want to give you guys my money.
You'll never financially recover from the week before.
Exactly, right? But at the same time, like that's a side hustle that you could do that
it's
absolutely
a scary side hustle.
It is scary, right? Because part of it is like, you know, it's gambling. I mean, there are so many people that are like addicted to that
but
gambling
I feel
nature.
Like Eric has mastered it. Like he's found the algorithm to yield the best results.
Oh, absolutely. And
he's doing well with it, it seems.
And that's one thing, anybody who's listening to this, if you want to take information from this podcast, like you can get a bunch of ideas from things that we're saying, that's one route that you can go is essentially go into daily fantasy football. And we always joke around with him that he's playing Turkish ping pong, you know, betting on the Chinese horse racing. And
we're making fun, but at the end of the day, he really is.
He is, and he's making money. So, and we were also talking before the show about, you know, busting each other's chops and making fun of some of the investments that we've made. Like, it's your money, and you're allowed to put it wherever you want to. And at the end of the day, if you're making a buck off of it, then good for you. Like, that's the way to do it.
It, like, one, we may or may not talk about on this episode. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But I've already made money doing it.
Exactly. And that's why I like to pick your brain, because I'm still kind of like on the edge, ready to pull the trigger, but not quite like all there. Yeah. You know what I mean? I feel like so many people now in the pandemic, they have the time to spend doing these sort of research and
doing
things that they like. And some of them have a little bit of money. I'm not saying everybody's got enough money to throw XYZ on, you know, a certain project, but that's why you got to find something that you love to do.
Yep. And as I'm sure Eric will say, and I'm sure we'll talk about, if we do talk about stocks, you got to spend money to make money sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a tough line when it comes to side hustle, because if you're doing a side hustle from zero to go from zero to goal, then gambling might not be it.
Right.
You know, if you're looking to, you have some excess income that you want to expand that wealth with, then gambling and some other investments like the stock market, which is kind of gambling as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's all
and,
high, it's high,
you know,
risk,
like
high reward.
Other investments. You know, that there's many different types of side hustles. Like, so when you hear side hustle, like you think like make money quick.
Right.
Which it is, but there's different ways to do it. Like, you can bootstrap it and go from zero and going around picking up the dead vacuum cleaners and cutting cords.
Scrapping was one thing I was thinking
about. To go on around to your house. Like, we're sitting in our studio, but looking around, like, how many things in this garage can you sell on eBay?
Right.
Like, if something cataclysmic happened, you could come out here. Golf clubs, you know, the dartboard,
the
even
bicycle,
that clock,
everything,
you know, the hand truck.
Right.
And not just eBay, but then Facebook Marketplace.
Right.
Like, there's so many different ways. I'm going off on a tangent, but there's so many different ways to do it. And if once you start breaking down side hustles, that's when you kind of break through that analysis paralysis.
Right. I think I agree with you 100%. Like, and that's what's nice about you is that you have an eye for that. Like, I would be hard to part with some of the things. And I think that's something that people have to get over is your emotional attachment to things. Like, I've had that bike for so long, and I'm so emotionally attached to it.
Michael, but I was so bad with that. And you know that. Like, you've seen my basement at its prime. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it just, you realize it comes down to assets. Everything in this garage is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
One way or another, it's an asset. It's something that you own that has a value, whether it be emotional or monetary. It holds value. It's an asset. And just realizing where the true value in life is, and Kyle helped me out with that a ton, like realizing having time to spend with your family, using that money that you find and turning it into time. You know, being rich is one thing because you have a lot of money. Being wealthy is another because the wealthy have the time.
Absolutely.
It's a huge difference.
Oh, absolutely.
And
I agree with you.
you know, like, we could have $1 billion in the bank account, but if that $1 billion is only lasting you a month, you're not wealthy.
Right, exactly.
You just have a lot of money.
Right. I agree with you 100%. And that's probably why people are going these routes, is because they're looking for not just necessarily that quick buck that's going to get them to the toys that they want. But like you said, the difference between being rich and wealthy is knowing what to do with it and how you're going to maximize your time for profit. And I think that's important.
If an investment pays off, what I do is take the money I invested, put it into my savings, mm-hmm. and the money that came off it, that goes into a different investment.
Right. Yeah. And that's a great way to do it, to separate out the earnings, essentially, so that you can basically maximize where these things are going. And then you have a bankroll kind mm-hmm. of as a, not necessarily a backup, but something that you can play around with and put into other investments. I was, I have like a couple of these things swirling around my mind about like the side hustle. We have both been Uber drivers. We've both been into the gig
economy. I've only done like 7 total.
Really? I was more into it than you were, I think.
100%.
I did it for a whole year.
I had the 4th of July was my last, I don't even know what year. Let's say 2016 for posterity.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing it, and the fireworks were going off downtown, and it was like 8 o'clock, and I switched it off. I came home to watch some with my little man and the wife, and we were on the deck, and then I got a call, and I had to leave my family, and that was it. Yep. That was at my, I'm never doing this again.
It was one of those things
where it pulled me from my family, and that was...
Yep, I had an aha moment very similar to that. It was almost exactly, it wasn't 4th of July, but it was pulling me from something that Luke was doing, and I was like, man, I don't feel like picking up this drunk kid from the bar. I want to go and hang out with my kid. And I don't know, for what it was worth, it was fun. It was...
How much money did you make?
Oh, boy. In the long haul, it's hard to calculate because you have to consider the wear and tear on your car. It was probably $3,000 probably over the course of a year.
Did you find that it was worth it?
You know, and that's the thing. I mean, the experience, everything that you experience is definitely worth it. I have no regrets over it. But for the amount of time I spent at it and the amount of, you know, profit I made on it, no, I really don't think it was worth it. I think there are other options that
I do think Uber and Lyft and other driving apps like that are awesome in big cities.
Oh, 100%.
Like New York, Philly, et cetera. Yeah. But in a normal town,
yeah, like
it's
ours.
Tough. But if you have nothing mm-hmm. and you have a nice car and that's it, it's money, you know.
Right,
it's
like
money
you said,
coming in.
Your car's an asset, and you can maximize the profits on that. There's a lot of weird things though with like Uber and Lyft, and I was thinking Instacart.
And it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. Yeah,
because just I think 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
a mother of three was just trying to make money in Texas. Did you mm-hmm. see this?
Yeah,
and she, you know, they killed her.
Yeah, like crazy.
Like, that's crazy. Like she's just trying to support her family.
I remember getting into the Uber at Gatsby's wedding, and the guy goes, "Oh, did you hear about that guy from New Jersey who killed all of his Uber passengers?" I was like, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, good start. Good start to this.
Right? Yeah. I'm like, "You're getting no stars, please."
So, when do you feel like a side hustle is worth it?
That's a great question because, like, you, I feel like you get into the side hustle because you want to make that money and you think it's a good idea. And then you start doing it, and then you either realize, like, man, this isn't what I thought it was going to be, or you start realizing you really aren't making any money at it. I was thinking another idea I had about the side hustle was I used to do freelance writing. When I first got out of college, I was looking for a job, and I was like, oh, I could do technical writing and write science reports and things like that. I had some guy from over in India who was asking me to do freelance work, and I would write these things up, and then I would get no credit for it. I'd make a couple bucks, but they really were acting sort of like a boss to me, and I didn't see the value in it because of the amount of money they were willing to pay for the amount of work I had to put in. I mean, I put a lot of work into these articles.
Right.
And I think that can be problematic for gig workers and freelance writers and photographers.
Now, do you have a set dollar per hour for yourself?
Back then I did. It was actually, I think it was per document. I think it was something like $50 for that particular document.
How long did you work on the document?
And that's when I first started off. It was like I'd spend an entire weekend researching the topic.
That's insane.
I know.
$50.
And well, back then it's tempting because I literally was just out of college looking for work. And that's what can be scary is you really have to take care of yourself as a freelancer because you're in it for yourself. Like you really have to make sure that you're maximizing your profits. And they were taking advantage of me. And that's I did that for maybe a summer. That only lasted a couple months.
Right.
And it ended up being I would say that was probably another waste of time. I mean, again, like I said, I don't regret it, but I mean,
it's an experience.
It's an experience. And that's something else everybody should take from this, is that everything you try, you're going to fail. Like, how many thousands of times have we failed in our lives and just...
But how many times have we learned from them?
Yeah, you pick yourself up and you keep
That's
on
called
going.
Experience.
Exactly. And that leads me to another one. I think a lot of people go with the side hustle of the MLM, right? The pyramid scheme. Because my wife used to do this with Beachbody. Now, I'm not knocking Beachbody.
She did all right with it, though, right?
She, in the very
I
beginning.
I bought off her, I think.
You did. In the very beginning, she enjoyed it a lot. And it was an interesting...
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. But it was something that she was doing to try to make a couple bucks on the side, because she's a stay-at-home mom, and she was selling the Beachbody workouts and the products. And the thing that bothered me the most is the way the pyramid schemes work, with having someone above you that essentially manages you and the people that are underneath you, and the fact that you're upselling your profits to that person. It really, it's put a bad taste in my mouth.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I respect the hell out of it.
Interesting.
I do. I came close to doing Amway.
Interesting. Okay.
I went down to the convention.
The conference, yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah.
What I did was I separated myself from it.
Mm-hmm.
I took all the business side of it. I didn't look at it as Amway. I knew I wasn't going to be doing it. I knew that, to me, what I would be doing wasn't comfortable. And it's humor. And I loved everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I loved the people there. I loved their passion. I loved so much about it. My sponsor, I think the word is, he handed me Rich Dad, Poor Dad. At the time, I wasn't reading. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if he knows this, but when I read that book, whew, you need to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Every father, every human needs to read Rich Dad. Have you read it?
I haven't. I've heard of it. It's sitting in the long
a game
stack
changer.
Of books.
Yep, yep, yep. You have to get it done by the end of the year.
Well, and another thing that you bring this up is you love what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, like, it's these people are making money. Don't
on
get
the
me
business
wrong.
Perspective, what the problem I have with it, and this was specifically for this instance, we know people that are doing it to this day and are loving it, both on the fitness side and on the makeup side, and a lot of other things.
Pampered Chef, and there's a lot of different,
different
ways.
Yeah, and people love it, and they love that community sense, but I feel like some of them you got to be careful with, because you end up selling your soul.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's what Christina felt like.
The biggest problem I had was their urgency to have you reach out to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the wrong side of that one time.
Yep.
A kid I played soccer with in college, he called me, and I was so happy that he called me. He was from Brazil. He moved to America. I watched the Super Bowl with him, where the Patriots lost to the Giants.
Oh, okay.
Undefeated.
I remember that.
One of my dearest friends in college. I loved him, but we lost touch.
Mm-hmm.
He called me. Oh my God. Da, 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 da. And, you know, like, we're catching up, and then he hit me with the Amway.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, I thought he was just calling me out of the blue.
Right.
And it was at that moment I realized that was not for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that kind of, can you make money? Sure.
Right.
Do you have to, I feel like it's tough. I mean,
it really is. You have to be a special kind of person in order to do it.
And
you really
can succeed at it.
You can, 100%.
And your success goes towards other success, and that
correct.
Bothers me too.
Yeah,
like, if I'm going to succeed in something, I want to find out how I did it and teach others how I did it.
Right.
And I don't want a kickback. I want my kickback is your success, like seeing you grow and nurture.
Right. Yeah. Basically, there's a lot of companies, these business creation think tanks that essentially work on that sort of concept, and I like that. We're about halfway into the cigar. Well, at least I'm about halfway in. You're,
oh my,
you're getting there.
I'm,
I mean,
not I'm about a quarter.
Yeah, you're babysitting on
you're
this one.
You're puffing.
We were just talking about this too. I smoke a lot more than you do. It's
wow.
funny.
I'm talking a lot more too.
You are. But, and it's interesting because even though we're both like smoking at different rates, your cigar hasn't gone out. Neither has mine.
No, and it's terrific.
And what do you think about like the flavor? Like I'm getting strong notes of like cedar, you know, it tastes.
I am, but it's not as full body as.
No.
It's not as full body as our previous cigars.
Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of the Perdomo 10-year champagne a little bit.
Oh, yeah, it does a little bit. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's good. It's a novice. I don't want to say novice because I got bastardized for it last time. It's a good beginner cigar.
Yeah, I would agree. It's small, not as
full body.
Not going to knock you on your ass. No,
no.
This is a good. I would agree. I would give this to somebody who doesn't smoke cigars regularly and say try it out.
It's still amazing.
It has very complex flavors though. It's like nutty and earthy. Like it's good. And the smoke is
earthy.
I do love earthy. I love the earth. Anyways, so we're going to take a short break. I think when we come back, we'll have to start getting more into our like I said, our conversations. Especially
we were all over the place in the first half.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll bring it back home and we'll.
We'll
zero in on some great ways to side hustle your money.
Well, yeah, we definitely will. We'll be right back.
See you soon.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Mike with Ash Hats.
You sound a lot more masculine on that.
What can I say?
That comeback. I like that.
We had a good break where we talked a little bit about some of the things. We decided that the reason why my cigar is smoking a little faster than Dustin's is obviously the cut. Like you did the V cut versus the straight cut. And that definitely does change the amount of time it takes for sure. I don't regret it one bit.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Mm. It's a great cigar. Even at a V-cut and smoking, it's going to take me a little bit longer. Like, right. I'm still getting good draws.
Oh, absolutely.
And at about a third for me, it's still a very pleasant cigar.
It's an Oliva. I mean, I expect nothing
exactly.
less. It's not, a knock-around cigar. I was talking to somebody about, like, the difference between a yard smoke and a cigar that you have in the cigar lounge. And I have a hard time with that concept just because I like to smoke random things all the time. And sometimes I'll put, like, a Padron while I'm cutting the grass. And it's like... Oh, that's probably not a good idea. But at the same time, like, I do enjoy some knock-around General Grants and these weird cigars you pick up here and there.
I guess my yard cigars are the ones when we get snow.
Yeah,
yeah. 25, 30-minute cigars.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find them, they're quick and they're usually cheap.
Yeah.
But, that's... We were just talking about like places where you can learn these things, and when I'm online looking up cigars, there's usually a tab or two open where we can find. One of them is like the Penny Hoarder. I think was a website that oftentimes has like good ideas and good links. And
I love that website. Is the reason why my credit score jumped 200 points.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely, PennyHoarder.com.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is there. It's about as scatterbrained as our first part of this podcast. Like, it's all over the place, but it like the second part of this podcast, it brings it all together.
Right.
It's thepennyhoarder.com. Yep. I think they dropped the now.
They may have. I don't know. I have to double check.
Pennyhoarder.com. The one website I check at least 3 times a week is PennyHoarder.
Yeah, I find myself checking it at least once a week, and it has lots of good resources. I strongly recommend it. What we were saying also was like we could take this podcast and break each one of these down into an episode, because I can imagine there's probably somebody listening who's like,
maybe we will even start our own side hustle podcast.
Right, exactly. Podcasting is another example of like a side hustle. Now,
absolutely. We're gonna talk about that.
I don't want anyone getting in mind thinking that like we're doing this to make a quick buck.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
I enjoy Dustin's company. I enjoy smoking cigars. And
we don't get to do it as often outside of this.
Like, no,
we were just
don't.
Talking. My last cigar was the last time we recorded, and that was especially in the COVID world. Like this is.
COVID world, it's cold. We have kids. It's tough to find the time to do it. But like you said in the first segment, you've got to optimize your time and find something that you want to do. And one thing that you can do for the side hustle is, basically do these things that are maximizing your investments. And
so what we talked about over break was to kind of get more specific with the side hustle. We're going to talk about things you can do today to make money today. When you're hearing this, you can make money today. What you can do to make money this week, what you can do to make money this month, and what you can do to make money this year and beyond. That's where I want it. Like, that's where I'm starting to really get good at the year and beyond, like planting those seeds. So I'm really looking forward to getting that. And then we're going to probably be close to the end of the podcast. Right, we're gonna tell you places where you can find more information, such as the Penny Hoarder, how to find different ones that we may not have even touched on, and you know, see where it takes us.
Right. No, I agree with you. I'm one of those guys that like my check comes every other week, and that's basically it. And it's trying to think of things like you said, like what could you do today that's gonna make you money that you could easily do. And that's something that I have a hard time with struggling with sometimes is like trying to think of these
ideas.
But
the reason I don't want to say I'm good at it because, you know, I don't want to come off by any means conceited. It's just my experiences. So what happened with me was I left an extremely good paying job to bet on myself. Mm-hmm. If you go to There's No Script to Life podcast at episode 17, I talk really in depth about that. But I basically went from making about $2,000 every other week to zero.
Right.
On a bet on myself. And you, when you have a kid and it's getting towards Christmas and you, I know you can do this.
Right.
And I'm looking at Mike when I say this, but like if you had to, you can.
Right.
And what I did was I started doing scrap removal for free. I already had a truck, but scrap metal, iScrap is a great app to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Scrap metal is a very intricate thing. It's not just pick up washer, take washer to scrap yard. There's different things in different electronics, appliances that you can maximize your scrap on, whether it be the brass, the aluminum,
and that's something you could do today. Anybody who's listening to this and they're thinking you could go out of your house today and pick up trash in the street and it is worth
and
money.
There's no shame because you're making money.
That's
and you might end up making more than $15 to $20 an hour. On any given day, you might make less, and then when you factor in, you know, the overhead of the gas, the wear and tear on the vehicle. One thing I would recommend if you're going to do this is to have a truck. You can get a truck on Marketplace for under $1,000.
Yep.
You've met that truck.
I met the first the antiques truck or whatever that was missed in one cylinder. Remember that? That truck was so rough. But that's how it starts. It always starts from the ground up. You hear? I saw the statistic that was like 75% of millionaires are self-made. Like they're not starting with an inheritance. They are starting from the ground up.
Mark Cuban went around selling vacuum cleaners.
That's right. And I think that's something that anybody who's listening to this is like, how could I make money today? The first thing you've got to do is think about what it is. You have to set goals. Think about what it is that you want to do that you can make money at.
And the other thing too is, and not to steal our good friend Kyle's favorite word, but you got to check your ego.
100%.
You know, like you got to drop the ego. You know, set your dollar per hour and know your worth for sure.
Right.
But, you know, if you're going to go out and see somebody looking out the window while you're cutting their wire, you know, the joke's on them because they're throwing money away.
Right, exactly.
It's the same thing like throwing $2 out on the ground. You know, if you see $2 on the ground, you're picking it up.
Right, exactly.
If you find a vacuum cleaner, you should be able to get between $3 and $7 in under 15 minutes of work.
Exactly.
Depending on the vacuum and the motor, etc.
Yeah, you're turning trash into cash, essentially.
So instead of doing trash to cash,
right?
What else can you do? Okay, you go around and find furniture you no longer like or no longer need or use. And let's say furniture, but maybe you have 2 lawnmowers. Or you just got a new microwave for Christmas. What do you do with the old one? Don't throw it away.
Sell it. eBay and Facebook Marketplace are 100%.
And Craigslist and Letgo. You know, other websites. And again, check the ego. Feel no shame in making money for yourself. Feel pride. You know, like, look at it. I made $20 today that I wouldn't have made otherwise.
Right. And I'm just saying I haven't made a dime today. And you have to really make that conscious effort. Like, what is it that I'm doing that I can make this money? Every single day, you could either be out there working this, you could be doing the hustle, and that's the whole point of this episode. Whether you're behind the computer blogging and trying to get advertisement links, or you're trying to make connections, there's something that you could be doing every second of every day that could be maximizing your money. I 100% agree with that. Now, so we talked a little bit about what you can make right now. What about like this week? Like, let's say you've got the time.
So you have some time. There's sites like Amazon Mechanical Turk.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
No, I know. I've heard of it. Yeah.
There's different kinds of side hustles where you can make money and then they do the payout at the end of the week. Field agent. Is another one that I know your wife does and I do.
Field agent's basically like a secret shopper where you go in, and these companies, we used to do this thing with Walmart where they would want us to take pictures of their recyclables section in the back of the store as essentially, it's almost kind of like gig working or freelancing where they want to know what it's like back there to see how their employees are doing, and you're providing them a service and they're paying you for it. And you're already there. I mean, you're optimizing the fact that you're already there buying something from Walmart.
Exactly. gig work and freelance work are the two key components to making money this week.
Yeah.
Look at a website like Fiverr, R's. That why this week, yes, you can make money today, but you need to focus on building your profile.
Your name, right.
Yep. You have to build those reviews. So you might have to discount your first couple. Like when I started Junkin' Monkeys,
I remember.
We weren't making money.
I was there in the very beginning.
Yeah, you were literally the one that did the first job with us. We did an entire basement cleanup for $225
right.
in that sad pickup. But we also went to a scrapyard, made an additional $80. We sold, what were they, like the parts of the wheel, the...
Oh.
Remember those things?
Yeah.
We sold them for like $120. Like, there was different things that we found. But getting back to the gig work... We did that because she went on and she was our first 5-star review on Google.
Yeah, that 5-star review. Anybody listening, you want to support us, give us a 5-star review anywhere that you're listening to
like
this, obviously.
And share.
Yeah, right.
But you set yourself up for this week. So you go out, you discount. So let's say you are really good at building a brand logo.
I like to do my DIY humidors.
DIY humidor. So what Mike can do is get the wood, figure out how much it is, and sell it at cost.
Right.
So Mike sells 10 humidors at cost. Okay. Then when he sells it, say, this will be going up to $50. I'm doing this because I'm new to it. Please, I'm begging you. Go on, leave me a 5-star review here, there, and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh my God, this is such good quality. Absolutely, I will. So then you start creeping those prices up. Junkin' Monkeys, I mean, we really didn't raise our prices that much.
No.
We just stayed competitive.
Oh, absolutely.
We figured out our checks and balances, added insurance, added the business stuff. And you know, like we're still at a really good percentage for both client and consumer and business. But as Mike's building this, so now it's going to be $30, $35. Now he's getting more orders. So now, okay, well, if they want a humidor from me, they're going to pay a little bit more. So now it's up to $50. Mike's bringing in $30 per humidor, and he's getting the experience, and he's building them at such a rapid pace where he could be making $300 in 1 hour if he can get 10 humidors. Now he's going to hire people, et cetera, and that's how he builds himself for the month.
Business. That's right. And I think it's something important to mention that when we're talking about all these things and you're thinking about the items that you need in order for this business to succeed, like I had a lot of the supplies, and I know a lot of, well, I shouldn't say a lot. I know a little bit about woodworking and carpentry as kind of like a side gig that I like to do as a hobby. A lot of hobbies turn into side hustles. And that's kind of what was going on with my humidors. I've only sold, now, I haven't gotten real deep into it, but I've made probably 5 or 6 of them. I've sold one of them. And it's something that like I enjoy doing. But like you said, in the very beginning, you're not going to make a tremendous amount of money right from the start.
Nor should you.
Nor should you, right. You're building your name. You're building your brand. And like you said, with those 5-star reviews, you're getting people to buy into you. It's almost like they're going to realize how much of a product that they just purchased from you. Plus, you're also, you know, supporting the local, you know, small businessmen, but
even on the grand, like the big scale, when you buy something on Amazon, what no matter, you're starting to see more follow up emails requesting that 5-star review.
I know a lot more.
And the reason for that is because your review helps their sales.
Absolutely.
And there's some items that if you give them a review, they will send you an additional item within 30 days. I got a backup cam. And they sent me the LCD monitor for free.
Yeah, I usually get those cards, and they'll give you a $10 gift card. Mm-hmm. One other one I saw, and we were
talking about valuable.
Like places where you can find these ideas, like Instagram and TikTok are so beneficial in that they allow users to post like these ideas. There was one I saw that was like, try to find an item that's selling for a certain price in a store and see what it's going for on Amazon. and yes. see if that item is actually cheaper to buy at Walmart, then you can buy all the stock that they have and send it to the Amazon Fulfillment Center and rake in the profits. Yes. Like, that's just something that takes a little bit of legwork and a little bit of cash.
That's probably between the week and the month.
Agreed, 100%.
But it's 100% plausible. And there's new tools out there mm-hmm. to allow you to really find these items at a rapid pace, and they make it real easy for everybody.
Now, there's a lot of apps out there now that you pick items that you're interested in purchasing, and they let you know when the prices change. I can't remember the name of it, but
we'll put it in the show notes.
You will have to put it in the show notes, yeah. But there's lots of resources that are available to you in case you're thinking like, well, what am I going to do? I'm going to walk outside and just try to find something. Well, no, you need to do the legwork. Like, you have to put the effort in if you really want to do the hustle. That's the point of a hustle, isn't it? I mean, you got to hustle.
So now let's talk about that month. Mm-hmm. So it's February 1st, and you say February 30th.
There you go. Wow.
No, but 30 days after the first, or 30-day window, 4 weeks, 28 days, whatever it may be, whatever you just... Mm-hmm. Whatever you feel a month is, I want to make this money in that week.
Right.
So now you're making
and be realistic. You're not going to make $1 million in a week.
Could.
You could. I mean,
but you gotta really.
You have enough GameStop stock, maybe. Yeah.
If you say you're going to clean the house by the end of the weekend, mm-hmm. you're going to have a clean by the end of the weekend. If you say you're going to clean in 3 hours, you're going to clean in 3 hours.
Exactly.
That's a famous Elon Musk quote. Like, yep. If you give yourself that time, you're going to achieve your goals in that time that allotted. Mm-hmm. So. You have the eBay, right? You have the gig work, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to combine them. You're going to figure out what's working, what's not. You're going to start growing that weekly business or side hustle if you'd like to. Now, how are you going to get from the week to the month? So now you got to start planning a little bit more. One thing I love is blogging,
yep.
YouTubing. You can, at that month fashion, Mike is going to be using YouTube to show the how-to videos.
Oh, yeah,
is he
that's
gonna,
right.
Is he going to be making a lot? No. But he's going to be using these videos to show his authoritative state. He's going to be saying, I know how to make these. This is how I make these. And this is the product you'll be getting. And you can see Mike making it. So he's going to be still making that daily and weekly money, but it's going to be coming in more rapid because now he's assigning himself an authority.
Right. And YouTube pays out based on the views, mm-hmm. and they're selling ad space. And it's important to remember that you're not necessarily working for YouTube. I mean, you're taking advantage of essentially a free broadcasting service that
they're
offering.
You're making your money through their advertisements.
Exactly.
You're getting a share of that
advertising. And we oftentimes talk about this where items can be brought up into whatever it is that you have out there, whether it's a YouTube video or a website, and you can link into that particular item and you can make money off of those as well.
Yep. So here's a hack on how to make money monthly. Mm-hmm. You're going to go on Etsy. Okay.
Etsy's a great resource.
Etsy's
for
awesome.
Side hustles.
Pick any item, any right. DIY item. Go ahead.
My wife just bought floating shelves.
Floating shelves. Okay. So you're going to go on Etsy. You're going to search for the cheapest with the best reviews. Mm-hmm. You're going to take all their pictures. You're going to go on Facebook Marketplace. You're going to, let's say the floating shelves were how much?
I think they were $100.
Okay. So you're going to find them for $70.
Yep.
Okay. You're going to list them for $100. On Facebook Marketplace. They're going to buy from you. You're going to go on to that Etsy. You're going to enter in all their information.
Yep.
And when they receive it, they're going to pay you.
It's very similar to how dropship works.
Extremely
that's
similar.
Very,
but
very similar.
I think dropship is a 3-month payout.
Yeah, dropship.
And that's what
is,
they're not telling you.
Right.
Like, you don't get... If I bought every marker mm-hmm. available and I dropshipped it, so you go to – what this is you go to a wholesaler mm-hmm. and you find a pack of markers for $3. And then you go on Amazon. You type in some voodoo, which we will talk about. and you find that they're selling for $15. They show you a site where you can calculate your profit.
Yep.
And so you might make $7 per unit. And it sells 120 units per month. So now you're making easy $840 on doing minimum.
And all you're doing is you're acting as essentially a retailer because you're drawing customers in. I have a lot of people who question that because they're like, oh, what exactly is it that you're doing? You're drawing customer base into them. And that's what you're being paid for is the
fact to get into drop shipping because once you get good at it, you can make a lot of money really fast.
Tremendously
and
large amount of money.
It's legal.
Like, it's 100% legal.
It's helping people because you're putting eyes on the product that they're searching for.
Exactly. And you're, like I said, you're acting, you don't need to have a physical brick and mortar space, but you're acting like a retailer who's connecting people with the items that
they need.
You serve
as the middleman.
Exactly. You serve as the middleman. That's 100% right.
It's kind of in that 1 to 3 month range, but you can go on Etsy today, sell that product at a markup, and then you serve as that middleman because you're typing in the buyer's information, you're buying the product from Etsy, you're matching the shipping, and then in that 3 to 4 weeks, they'll, you know, you receive the payment, then you pay out.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Now, you've got all this money and you're ready to take it to the next level and you're going a full year. This is 100% where I'm thinking at now because, like I said, I want to start getting into investments. I've got
Pump the brakes, pussycat. Pump the brakes. We're not there yet. At the year, now you want to start developing your side hustle more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you learned from building the humidor. Okay. We're going to stick with that example. You're putting that now into ebook.
Yep.
You're going to start your blog. You're going to start developing your brand. And that's how that YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to start making more. You're going to get better at it. And you're going to start learning more about it. And that is how, after a year, you're going to start getting, I hate to use the word kickbacks, but essentially that's what it is.
Yeah.
So then when you're at that 1 year and you're doing all these things, you develop a sort of passive income.
Correct.
Because whether it be a podcast or what have you, now that money's going to come in while you're sleeping. And that's the goal. That's the 4-hour work week.
Right. It's funny because a side hustle really could supplement your income below your regular everyday job, but it could exponentially grow over time.
Day traders are dropping their full-time job every day.
And that's 100% correct. But they didn't realizing it.
But they didn't wake up with all that money to invest.
Right.
You know, they had to do that side hustle to get there.
Mm-hmm.
So now you are at that year. You have multiple streams of income. Now we're on to investments.
Right. And I, as part of, you know, what I've been trying to do lately is look into the stock market. And I think it's interesting because now kids our age, I shouldn't even say kids, we're 35 years old, but people our age are more interested in stocks and bonds. And I was never really that's probably the one thing that never really piqued my interest because I get into a lot of things. You know me, I'm all over the place. That's where my scatterbrain sort of mentality goes into. But stocks was never one of them.
So I got into it because of dividends. I listened, I don't remember which podcast, but they talked about investing into a dividend and Roth IRA IRA account because of the passive income that involves. So a dividend every month, 3 months, depending on per stock.
Yeah, you get a quarter per share, I think.
Per
is
You, Johnson & Johnson, if you own 5 shares of Johnson & Johnson, every month or 3 months, you get $10.
Right.
You get $2 per share. And that changes in. Please, we're not financial advisors.
Oh, yeah, please. You know. Nobody dropped their entire life savings into anything necessarily that we're recommending.
every single thing we're talking about, disclaimer, please do your research.
Yeah, we're still learning.
We had a 40-minute conversation about what we learned last 2 days.
Over the course of the last couple of days, the stock market has been surging, and we've been learning about short squeezes. And for anybody who knows, the
GameStop,
GameStop and
Nokia, AMC,
Robinhood, and all these apps that are available for zero. And it's also funny, not to go off topic, but we were just talking about what did our parents do to do a side hustle. Like, we just came up with a plan to do a day, a week, a month, a year, where you could maximize profits. What in the hell did my parents do for money?
This is what I think happened. And this is a hypothesis. And if I sound like an asshole, say I sound like an asshole. So our great grandparents,
right?
They didn't have 9-to-5s. They did their thing.
A lot of them had mom and pop shops.
Mom and pop shops, whether it be pizza place, restaurant, you know, shoe shiner, etc. That's what they did.
Right.
And if their side hustle was building their business bigger.
Right.
Doing the most that they can for their business. Industrial Revolution, people started going to the 9-to-5s.
Yeah, the factory work and all that. You're right. People
coal mines
working for someone else. Man. And I was watching a YouTube video, and it's probably the most important thing I would want anyone to take from this is stop outsourcing your life. Like that's what our grandparents didn't do is that they relied so heavily on doing things themselves that they didn't have somebody going to change the oil in their car. They did it themselves.
Find a friend like Mike Ferris that
right,
can do it.
Right, exactly. And I would do it for cheaper than Quick Lube was going to do it, right? But you're absolutely right. Like they had these mom and pop shops, and to them, they didn't really need the side hustle like we do today. You know,
I don't even think it was a consideration.
I don't think so.
I don't even think the word side hustle came until like the 70s or the 80s when people started realizing like, okay, if I scrap metaled or if I did that extra service thing that I'm good at, you know, like whether it be marketing, door-to-door sales, things like that, like things you can do after hours between like 5 p.m. and 8 p.m. that like you still have the daylight and you don't have a lot of time, but you can still make things happen.
Yeah, you could still optimize your time and make some money off of it.
And I think like people would just either do that or work overtime, but some people didn't have overtime as an option.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
So they had to find other ways. And then around 92, 93, 94 came and people started selling on eBay.
Yeah.
I think eBay really changed, was the big game changer, online sales. And without everything we talked about, I feel like wouldn't exist if we didn't have the internet and the technology that we have today.
Oh, 100% agreed. And it's funny because like I used to use eBay a lot, like before I had the full-time job that I have. And I was just like on eBay the other day, and it has changed so much since like, I think I started really getting into it in like 2000 and 2004-ish. And like now it's like just with the drop shipping, with the finding an item that's at a cheaper value and reselling it. Like you didn't see a whole lot of that in the very beginning. You do now.
Yeah. And just today, the team found a pair of brand new Crocs. Remember like those shoes? But they sell for $40. It was brand new, tag still on. Mm-hmm. Before they finished what they were doing, I had it on eBay. It took me 25 seconds. It sold already because I had zero into it.
Right.
So I listed it for 30 and it sold with shipping for 38. I made $38 in 25 seconds.
Exactly.
You know, now I got shipping, yada, yada, but.
But and again,
so I mean, I made $25, let's say, in 15 minutes of work.
And that's
$100 an hour. Like,
that's the side hustle. That's money. The goal. Like, you're hustling. And that's what I think. And anybody who listens or who's realizing this is that you got to put the legwork in. Like it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to be, you know, something that drops into your lap. You really have to put the effort into it. I think a lot of people, when they start getting into like the idea of the side hustle, it's like, I'm going to make so much money real fast.
It's so crazy. Like, especially today, like when I was doing research for this episode, there was one, I don't know the website or anything like that, but it was similar to Fiverr, like a gig work where you have a translator.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, let's say someone from Germany wants to translate something to English. So they pay you $25 in which you receive the said document or whatever it may be. And then you just simply transfer it to Google Translate, whether it be in the vocal or the actual document, you're done in 5 minutes and they're paying you X money.
Right.
And that's all technology and that's simple.
Right.
So how did you – let's start talking about ways to find side hustles.
Well – back in the old days, it was, you know, what you had available. And like you said, you can find assets anywhere in your house. But I would say that if you're going to go investment routes or if you're going to try to like find these options that are available to you, find things like Kiplinger Report, which is one that I'm really interested in nowadays, that looks at some of these small companies that are up and coming.
Want to talk more about investments? I feel like
we could. I mean, yeah. I mean, how much more do you got left in that smoke?
I'm about two-thirds through now. I absolutely love it. Oh, you're nub.
Well, I'm nubbing it, but I'm still doing
it. I love this cigar. Mm-hmm. It was a good conversation cigar.
Absolutely.
You know, like it's like we had sex. Like it was, we didn't even realize we were having a cigar. That's kind of what you want in a conversation cigar.
Right. Right, absolutely. But like you're absolutely right. In terms of like places to find it, I find that it's a little tricky to find one, because the internet's so vast. It's tricky to find one spot that it's like a one-stop shop. But at the same time, like the places that I keep going back to are things like Facebook Marketplace or things like, you know, Facebook in general or Twitter.
Is that because you want that quick?
No, I don't think it's that I want it quick. It's just that I like crowdsource information. I like information that comes from the public. It's hard for me to look at like a Forbes magazine.
Would you ever find yourself getting ebooks or anything like that?
Ebooks is an interesting option. I'm starting to dabble with it a little bit, but possibly. Now, what is your experience?
So, my wife and I, we had a rare night to ourselves 2 weekends ago. And we took turns, an hour each, watching each other's TikTok stream.
Oh yeah,
on Chromecast.
Yep.
Oh my god, we had so much fun. But I you know how like they say like your phone hears what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, some way, and I didn't use TikTok in this manner. It became so business oriented.
Yeah, mine's becoming business oriented too.
I was learning about the stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I was learning about liens,
tax like, lien properties. Yeah,
we were talking about yeah. that just last week, and. Yep. Just taxing problem and real estate is a whole nother ball game for a whole nother time.
I think we should spend an episode. That's
like
on that.
Year five type yeah. thing. Rich dad, poor dad.
Yep.
That talks a lot about real estate. And just I found TikTok to be the most valuable asset that I found in the longest time. And not just on what we just said, like about the liens and whatnot, but like that side hustle I found about the translation.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just touching on it.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok shows you the websites,
yep.
shows you how to do it all in 1 minute. And TikTok's brilliant. Like,
right.
So I guess to digress, find something you're really passionate about, what you love. Like Beth, my wife, has all the different Cricut machines,
mm-hmm.
and she's slowly starting to produce some product
right.
and sell it. And, you know, she's not doing it for the money. She's doing it because she likes seeing that smile on that product she makes.
Right.
And Cricut, you know, and I'm trying to tell her, hey, do a how-to. You know, you can make money on YouTube doing this or on TikTok doing this. And
Saw there was like Glowforge is one that's real popular now. Yep. It's like that. It's not 3D printing. It's like printing on wood and things like mm-hmm. that. There is so many like cigar Facebook groups and websites and blogs that I belong to where people are starting to sell some of the items they make.
Their DIY stuff,
yeah. And I think that should be an idea that people go into is if you've got the time and you have some knowledge, use that knowledge to your advantage.
Right.
Like I do with the DIY humidors or whatever it might be. There's money to be had.
ways to find money today is a great term to search mm-hmm. on Google. Also, reach out to us. On all of our multiple social medias. Cigar's starting to hit me a little bit. I'm getting a little goofy.
Getting a little goofy. So
but,
ashhatspodcast@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter. We do have a TikTok. I am the...
Mike is really good at TikTok.
Yeah. I'm educationally, you know, minded. I like teaching. So I like doing videos. If you ever check out our TikTok on different things like good cigar lighters, good cigar cutters. I'm going to do one tonight on wrappers and the different like kind of wrappers and what they do for the cigar. And they're quick little 15-second videos that...
And they make it real easy.
They do. And they make you want to research more. I think that's what's nice about TikTok.
I am starting to... I have two different routes I'm going with TikTok to monetize on it. The first one was something that is brand new. And it's called Earth2.io.
Something to check out.
Something definitely to check out. That's on the investment side of things. I got bastardized a little bit when I introduced it to my friends. It's kind of like a game in real estate. And I mean, I made $190 on it. So,
well, you could either be doing that or OnlyFans. I can only imagine what your OnlyFans page looks like.
It's brutal.
Right?
Anywho. But the other thing I'm doing is it's called Amazon Family Finds.
Mm-hmm.
And my little man loves making TikTok videos, even though he's nine.
Right.
So like, what we're going to do is we're going to start buying random stuff on Amazon and doing 15 to 20 second things on it, putting those with affiliate links on a link tree.
Yep. Affiliate links are a huge marketing idea for side hustle. Absolutely. That was something
so
I researched.
We're going to do quick 15 to 30 second product reviews on the stuff we buy, and then send people to Amazon to, you know, check it out.
Right.
And if they buy it, you get like between 5% and 40% of that purchase. And I think that's a great way to make money on TikTok. Quick way to figure out what your next step is. Go into the App Store, and Gary V swears on this. Search the top 20, 30, 50 apps. Check out those first 5 or 10 apps. See if any are new to the store. And then figure out ways to make money on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I've seen that one from Gary V. Gary V is an interesting guy. I sometimes he irks me a little bit.
He called the baseball card boom 3 years ago.
He did.
And now
absolutely.
You can't even find you go to Walmart and try to find a pack of football cards.
Right.
It's baseball cards. You can't because Gary V was the leader on that. And what Gary V says kind of the next thing coming is coins.
Mm-hmm.
Coins and currency. People are finding like weird things on their coins and currency.
Oh yeah, all the missed strikes and everything. Yeah.
Like the one guy on TikTok, he's been going to the bank with a $50 bill.
I just saw this the other
day.
And
he's buying five rolls of quarters.
Yep.
And he goes through each and every quarter and turns it for hundreds of dollars of profit.
Looking for, I saw there was like a West Point, the West Point quarter that he did. Yeah.
And then there were so many like quirky ones. And
you
like,
would never think to do that. But then again, like somebody's doing that and they're
and
making
then,
money
like,
on it.
Like on the dollar bill, like if it has a star at the end or if it's a weird serial number.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can, like he, the one was, if you saw this, would you spend it? It was just a plain old dollar bill. And
it's worth $1.
It's a $1 bill. And he's like, well, if you spent this, you're losing out on 99 additional dollars. And he showed it was like the serial number was like all zeros and then 180.
Yep.
And he's like, the lower the serial number, the higher the value.
Mm-hmm.
And then like another one, like he was talking about like the letters on it. And it's so crazy. There's a market for everything. And
I was just going to say the Pokemon card craze is
the Charizard.
Huge right now.
It's insane.
It is. It's like the Funko
Magic
Pop craze.
Magic Gathering, Funko Pops, like those trendy things.
Mm-hmm.
And video games kind of on the downward trend now, but about 5 years ago, I mean,
yeah,
crazy.
That was a really, really big money maker. And again, I think, well, I don't know. How about you? Are you almost, I'm pretty much almost done with this. I think we could go on for.
Yeah, everything we talked about, we can do an entire episode.
We could go for days on these sort of things. But like our takeaway message, I guess I should say, mm-hmm. since we're pretty much close to the end of this, I really enjoyed this cigar, but. It's number one is if you want to make money on the side, find something you actually enjoy doing. Because if you're trying to do something that's, oh, I think this is a good idea, because that's what Uber ended up being for me. Like
me too.
I liked driving, but it was like a job. Yeah. Don't let your side hustle be a job.
Your side hustle is supposed to be fun.
Exactly.
Like you might have your full-time job because it's great money, great insurance, and hopefully you like the full-time job. Or I didn't. I know.
Right.
You,
I know. I really enjoy my job.
Love your job. And I love that you love your job, but I wasn't that lucky. And, you know, the people were great. I'm not going down that rabbit hole, but, you know, it wasn't for me. But I found those side hustles that I was fortunate enough to turn into allowing myself and my family to live the lifestyle that we want to live.
Right, exactly. And anybody who wants to go that route, don't be afraid because people have done it before. You can do it.
If you're listening to this and you're nervous or afraid, I beg you to reach out to us because I would love to help you get on that track of making that side hustle money and that potential passive income.
Right. And then I would also say is do your research. There are so many resources available. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
And
I'm trying to think
of other ones
that we use.
People are so giving.
Yeah, like, very much so.
So giving on the knowledge and the information. Like, don't be afraid to reach out to them.
Yeah, you know, all this is a quick message. I mean, you could direct message somebody as long as...
Actually, send it in video. Because
that's
a direct message is kind of robot-y.
Yeah.
Send it in a quick, hey, love your stuff. I'm very much a fan. please, I'm struggling in this area. What are your thoughts? If you can just take a quick couple seconds to help me, I'd really
be... I know we would love to hear from our listeners if anybody's interested in any of these things that we talk about.
Yep. It's something I'm real passionate about. I know you are too.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts from you, the king of the side hustle?
Go make money.
Right? I think that's absolutely right.
Enjoy doing it.
Well, I think this has been a great episode here, guys. Again, the Nub Cameroon. This was rated 92 by Cigar Aficionado, so I would strongly recommend.
It's crazy. I caught up to you.
Yeah, you did. You're pretty much right where I'm at now. I slowed down a little bit. I was getting a little bit of heavy-hitting cigar nicotine there.
It's funny, because towards the end of our podcast, we all get a little
woozy.
A little woozy, and like, yeah, the nicotine kicks in.
Right, right.
Overall, I love this cigar. I do. Definitely smoke it again.
I would strongly recommend it. And all the nubs are fantastic. Are.
Never had a bad nub.
Yeah, check us out on Instagram for Ash Hats Podcast. I think we are fully up and running with our Twitter account. It's at Hats Ash, and we try to post as many interesting cigars that we enjoy over the time in between our podcasts here. And obviously, we have our email address. So ashhatspodcast@gmail.com is a great way to get in touch with us if you have any questions or concerns on things that we've covered in this or past episodes. And please give us a 5-star review if you enjoy what we have to say. It helps us to, you know, make more episodes and really get our message out there.
Share with your friends.
That's right. And as always, smoke them if you got them.